The Indigenous Social Justice Association has been fighting for a long time now against Aboriginal deaths in custody. It's an ongoing issue and one that continues to raise the concern of many Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. The death earlier this year of Peter Clark in the Alice Springs Hospital has concerned the Indigenous Social Justice Association, and to talk a little bit about that this morning, it's a very good morning to Ray Jackson. Ray, welcome back to Karma.
Thank you, Paul.
Ray, the death of Peter Clark, obviously a great loss for the local community. Peter Clark was well known by many, many people here in Mbantwa and throughout the Northern Territory. The circumstances surrounding his tragic death, you and others feel that this information needs to be shared with the wider public. Any death is tragic, but obviously the circumstances surrounding Mr. Clark do need to be shared.
Absolutely. The circumstances of his death raise a lot of questions. The family has asked ISJA to help, plus some other mobs as well. And as you know, I've written to several of the ministers and the chief minister up in Darwin asking why Peter Clark's death was not identified as a death in custody. He had been in Alice Springs Jail. He was 5 or 6 days away from being paroled. He got sick. He finished up in the Alice Springs Hospital. We don't know how long he'd been sick before he was transferred. That's something we need to find out. When he got to the hospital, he was CAT scanned and they found that he had pneumonia, emphysema, and they found what could be a cancerous node on his left lung. They put him straight into the intensive care unit and put him into an induced coma. That being the case, corrective services still found it quite normal to, in fact, shackle him by his left leg to the bed and place a guard in his room. Now, we question why this was done. He was certainly in no condition, even if he wanted to escape, to attempt anything. And the fact, of course, is that he was 5 or 6 days away from getting out of jail anyway. So we question why these practices were done. And sadly, when he did die, some 9 days after his release date, the superintendent of the jail believed that it would be treated as a death in custody, but when the registrar of the intensive care unit rang the coroner's office, we don't know who he spoke to, but he spoke to somebody there, and apparently he was told it was not a death in custody, because even though Peter had been in a coma, he was somehow now a free man. Now, that is absolutely ridiculous. Royal Commission Recommendation 6, that has been accepted by every coroner's office throughout the country, clearly identifies Peter Clark's death and circumstances of the death as a death in custody. Now, the family want the coroner, and we and others want the coroner, to do a full investigation of his death, and that's what we are fighting for now.
Aboriginal deaths in custody has a long and sad history in this country, and there have
been some
massive efforts over many decades now for Aboriginal people to be given rights equal to other Australians. We know that there are many ways that some governments deal with prisoners, people in custody. They obviously have their own rules and regulations that are set in stone, and sometimes it is difficult for those to be changed. This particular case demonstrates that there's still such a long way to go. When we're talking about basic human rights, Mr. Clark's family were obviously very, very upset at how he was treated. As you pointed out, he was due for release. The ongoing question, Ray, of how do we get governments, state, territory, federal governments to actually take on board the recommendations from that Royal Commission? I mean, we know there have been some big efforts, but there's still such a long way to go.
We certainly do have a long way to go. When you consider that since January 1980 to the present day, we have had over 400 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people die in custody. That's at the police and the prisons. Over 400. Now, that's a terrible figure. It works out to be something like one a month. Now, we can't afford to lose our people at that rate. Prior to being with the Indigenous Social Justice Association, I was with the Aboriginal Deaths in Custody Watch Committee, which was set up in 1987. Now, we have been fighting for that length of time to get justice into this country. The closest we ever got was with Chris Hurley and Doomadgee up on Palm Island. We actually got a policeman charged and in court. But, of course, an all-white jury allowed him off. Now, the police and prison officers and the medical staff need to know that they have a duty of care not only to Aboriginal people, but all people that come across their doorstep. They must look after these people. There are so many questions still to be answered by the death of Peter Clark and Briscoe and others up in the Northern Territory. It's like a killing field there. Mr. Ryder was a classic example of a strange sort of justice that is handed out to Aboriginal people. But we will keep fighting, we will keep working with the families, and one day we just may break through.
Again, for all those families around the country who have lost family members and relatives, the work that you and others continue to do, it's a tough job because often when we look at the big scale of things and, you know, some of the other events that are happening around the world, it becomes very easy to become complacent about the rights of Aboriginal people in this country.
Exactly. And there are too many complacent people out there, Paul. But if we don't stand up for our own people, then who is going to? We've got to do it ourselves. We've got to take up the fight against the brutality of the police and the prisons. The human rights issue.
Ray, I'm sure you'd agree that there are many men and women, hard-working men and women within that system who have seen things that they haven't been happy with. And in all fairness, we continue to recognise those who are doing the right thing, but sadly there will always be some bad eggs and they're the ones that need to be out of that system.
That's right. But like the police, there's a culture of protection and we need to break that. How and how long it's going to take is in the lap of the gods, Paul, but we just got to keep fighting.
On that note, Ray Jackson, thanks for your time.